today, on Easter weekend, we reflect on all the kindness that is springing up during this COVID-19 crisis. It was Friday night and Anne-Marie settled down on her blue corner sofa with a glass of wine in her hand, chatting with friends back home in the Netherlands through her laptop. They were laughing, talking over one another, and they were telling her what had been happening in recent weeks. There was one thing they said that caught her attention. After the call, she wondered whether something similar could happen here in the UK.
I just made a small image for people to spread over their WhatsApp and a hashtag on there, put a website on there, and then start spreading that out to my friends here in the UK. But yeah, with having three white wine without any food, mistakes are made easily. So getting it bounced back 2 minutes later because I made a spelling mistake in it. Went back to the laptop again, made it with the correct spelling, send out that with a simple message, please share. Went to bed, didn't think too much of it. And then woke up the next morning and literally it had gone viral. People pointing out that Victoria Beckham had posted my misspelled image. It exploded.
Now, you may have seen the hashtag clap for our carers trending on Twitter recently. We want to applaud our NHS heroes, the UK.
So, Anne-Marie, you came up with the clap.
Well, yeah, being inspired by what I saw happening in other countries, I thought, yeah, well, the Brits are pretty stubborn, but the Dutch are really stubborn too. So if the Dutch can do it, then the Brits can do it too. So yeah, I thought, why not?
It's pretty cool when an idea you have one drunken night manages to unite a country in the middle of the biggest crisis it's faced in decades. Anne-Marie Plass's Clap for Our Carers was amazing. Millions came out of their homes to applaud the bravery of NHS workers and continued to do so in the weeks after, also for other frontline workers. But the truth is that when you look around at the response to this COVID-19 crisis in our society, you see a silver lining. Anne-Marie's clap might be the most famous act of kindness, but everywhere and every day, this crisis is bringing out the best in people, bringing local communities together, and even driving national unity just months after Brexit had left the country pretty divided. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, tales of how COVID-19 brought Britain back together again.
From there, it got quite surreal.
Well, Anne-Marie Plass is organising a campaign. It's called Clap for Our Carers. She joins us now. Tell us how it's going to work.
Well, it's going to be fairly simple.
Right. It's really caught on, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing. And it also, it just is.
You're so right. Anne-Marie, I have to say an enormous thank you for everybody for coming up with the idea, for inspiring.
Anne-Marie talked about it on Breakfast TV. It was plugged on the radio. There were huge blue billboards on the side of roads telling drivers to applaud our heroes.
That's amazing. It is almost like a dream coming true, I suppose.
Okay, so it came around. It was Thursday the 26th of March, at close to 8 o'clock, just before the clap for our carers was scheduled to happen. What were you doing and how did you feel?
I was in my home in South London, Stratton Hill, and it was coming to 8 o'clock. I was actually getting a little nervous because I thought, well, what if I am the only one who lives in the street? There are no clappers. My heart starting to pound 10 minutes before. My hands got a bit sweaty. I was preparing. We opened up the windows. We're setting things up with stuff to make noise with. And just before it was 8 o'clock and the whole street was still that quiet, when my husband said it's 8 now, and I started clapping with my wooden spoon as loud as I could on my pen, and that is then the moment where I saw neighbors first opening up the curtains and clapping from them. But because I was making quite some noise, they were all getting jumping on that wagon, and they were like open up windows, getting out of their front door, started making more noise and noise, and that really got us all going here on the road.
What was the atmosphere like? How did you feel?
Yeah, emotional. Woo! To know that we are all feeling the same way. And also because we're still at home fighting our own battles, because it's for everybody, it's an adjustment of what are we going through right now. And to know, we are in this together, it made me feel really emotional.
But it wasn't just Anne-Marie Street or even London. All over the UK, people came out of their houses at 8 o'clock and applauded the NHS. We took the kids out in their pyjamas with my mum and dad on FaceTime as they clapped on their street 200 miles to the north. Celebrities and politicians joined in. Even the royal family posted a video. How quickly did you realise that it was happening all over the country?
The first moment people showed me of what was happening, I started to get a little goosebumps. That was when I started to realise, and the day after, when some outlets put some things together, I found myself really emotional to watch was people drove down to the hospitals, and I was standing next to their cars in front of, parked it in front of the hospitals. And then the nurses and the doctors were clapping to the people outside.
Guys, people clapping outside the Whittington Hospital in North London, isn't it?
Yeah, that was what touched me and moved me mostly.
Landmarks all around the country were lit up in solidarity. The three letters N, H and S were beamed onto Rochester Castle. The London Eye was lit bright blue in honour of the health service. And Wembley Stadium had Thank You NHS in huge letters above the entrance. Did you see examples of the effect this had on NHS workers?
Yeah, so I saw one clip of a male nurse.
I've just took the team outside to listen. That is absolutely... I don't think there's any words for that, but to everybody, thank you.
Knowing that what we did was right, because it was our intention to say thank you to them.
When did you decide that it wouldn't just be one Thursday?
That morning I did woke up with a heavy head because I had to drink one or two beers after what has happened to feel that. So that moment, and I went to my inbox and then I saw people that have gone through on the email, people that have gone on Instagram asking if we could do this again.
You've said that the subsequent Thursdays are not just about the NHS, but beyond that.
Yeah, in hindsight, there are way more people out there that keep our world going. Basically, everybody that is putting their life on the line, whether it's in a supermarket or it's my mailman or even the bin collectors, what is, in the end, the backbone of our society out there so that we can stay in.
Thank you.
That's brilliant. Tell me about the car.
The car is a Range Rover Sport. It's got the Barragzite body kit on there, and we vinyl wrapped it in like a black combat colour, so more of like a Batmobile, should I say. It's got the orange flashing light at the top. The car looks very aggressive and monstrous. I was driving home in it. A traffic police officer pulled up on side of me. He was looking straight ahead. And then he gradually just turned his head to the right, looking at me. He put the window down. This is all in slow motion, so you can just imagine it. And I put the window down, the passenger side window, and he gives it to me. So what's a COVID-19 response card then? And I was like, uh-oh. I thought, well, officer, it's just a vehicle that I've customised to help go around, help the community, you know, people that can't go out and, you know, do the shopping, or maybe the vulnerable people or people that need daily essentials or food. He gave me the nod, thumbs up, and he said, good job, keep it up, and the car looks amazing.
Meet Naveed Khan. You might have noticed that he likes cars. For 19 years, he's run a car body shop called Encance. The headquarters are in a vast black hangar-like building in Bradford. It's not discreet. There's a couple of Rolls Royces, a bright orange Porsche, and a turquoise Mercedes four-wheel drive parked in a row out the front. And you can't miss Navid, often standing behind his front desk, which is made to look like he's behind the wheel of a shiny orange Lamborghini and in Encance branded clothing.
I specialise in vehicle accident repair work and vehicle customisation.
What is car customisation? Is that like Pimp My Car?
Pimp My Ride, Pimp My Car. Yeah, it's basically you get a basic car and you just customise it. I mean, it's individual taste. It's not to everybody's taste. So, I mean, we've got big car dealerships like Rolls-Royce and Lamborghini getting into it as well. So now they offer, you know, you can buy a basic Rolls-Royce. Well, it's not basic, but just one that you can customise to your...
A basic,
you know,
Rolls-Royce. Yeah, basic.
There's no such thing, but there is people out there that go to an extreme where they put Star Galaxy lighting in the car, new wheels, you know, extreme colours.
And what's the weirdest things you've put in a car?
Oh, I put a flip three-tone colours where they look different at different angles. I've vinyl wrapped a card in like a leather effect. I've done.
You've wrapped a car in leather.
Yeah, all sorts. I mean, there's so many different things.
Have you ever put a fish tank in a car?
I've not done a fish tank. I've put a fridge in a car. I've put sort of bosky crystals all over a car. Bespoke, you know, everything just bespoke to what the customer requires, you know, for his specification for his car.
And do you enjoy your job?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Is your business struggling as a result of the coronavirus?
Yeah, I mean, it's not only me. I think it's a global effect on every business. It's a ripple effect on even the suppliers that I work with. But it might come to a point where I don't have no choice but to close the doors. But, you know, I hope that day never comes.
Navid decided to put his expertise to use. On the 31st of March, he posted a video on his Twitter account showing him driving out of his garage in his customised COVID-19 Range Rover. He pulls up next to the camera, lowers the window, pulls down his black face mask and says...
So here you have it, guys, the first COVID-19 emergency response car. We're going to be using this car to help the vulnerable people of Bradford, the homeless people and the elderly. So if you guys know anybody out there that's struggling with food or any daily essentials, let us know and we can help them. You know what, guys? We're going to work together to beat this virus and we're going to do it.
The camera then does a full rotation of the souped-up Range Rover painted in matte black with red stripes down the side and huge white letters spelling out COVID-19 with the words response team in red underneath.
How are people getting in touch with you and what are they asking for?
I've had phone calls from people. Well, I'll just give you the most extreme case, and this was really obviously quite, you know, shocking for me, and I was just a bit upset about it when I heard this lady's story. She rang me. She didn't sound too well. She's wheelchair bound. She's got some lung disease. She was diabetic. She said, you know, I can't go out to the shops because I'm on a wheelchair, and on top of that, she said I've got a 20-year-old autistic son, who's a very heavy, big lad, and, you know, he eats quite a lot as well, and obviously she's looking after him. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is, like, serious, you know. I said, well, so what do you have in your house right now? She goes, I've got half a loaf of bread, a little bit of butter, and maybe a little bit of ham left over, and a packet of crisp. And I thought to myself, oh, my, this can't be real. I mean, we're living in the, you know, obviously we're living in the UK. You'd expect something like this in the third world country. And so, anyway, she was really distraught. Honestly, I had, like, tears coming out of my eyes at a point where I thought, oh, my God. And she was asking me, oh, you know, what will it cost? I said, look, it's not going to cost you anything. Just give me the list of shopping that you need that will last you for at least about a week, and I'll get it out. And, you know, when I said that to her, she was in tears.
Hiya, Amanda, how are you? Are you OK?
Yeah,
I'm obviously, I spoke to you. I know, but... You needed it, so we thought we'll just help you out as much as we can. There's another bag, actually. There's some crisps for you.
What's happened kindly, obviously, on the back of this, we've got Mercedes-Benz of Bradford that have contacted us, and they said they want to join the response team. They want to give a couple of cars of their own and they'll drive about. They'll get their individual drivers who are probably salesmen on a day-to-day basis, but they said, look, you know, we'll help out.
So you're going to pimp their ride?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like pimp, they're just going to look like a response car.
How much of your time is this taking up?
All my time.
Do you think this coronavirus crisis is changing society?
Definitely. The thoughts of people, the lifestyle, the way of thinking. We've just been in the fast lane, you know, in the third lane constantly. Nobody has time for anybody. Time is the most valuable thing.
I love the way you speak in car metaphors.
Yeah.
Navid, thank you very much.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Coming up, imagine being 23 and agreeing to leave your fiancé and parents to move into the care home where you work. What you're hearing from Naveed and Anne-Marie is almost certainly similar to what you're hearing within your own community, probably on your street. The most remarkable thing about this unbelievable crisis facing us in 2020 is the changes we're seeing in society. And that is quite something if we cast our mind back just 6 months. I've worked as a political reporter, and if there was one thing that defined 2019 in Britain, it was division. Unbelievable division. Politicians tearing each other apart. Brexit tearing families apart. And I wondered at times if the country could ever reunite. And it's stories like these that bring home how far we've come, not just Naveed and Anne-Marie. We've spoken to so many people, like Lucy Wellings, an NHS nurse who got an extraordinary reaction when she posted on Instagram that her bike, which she needed to get to and from work rather than taking the risk of getting sick on public transport, had been stolen.
Straight away, there's the anxiety, the panic that rushes through me.
Not only did the online community help recover her stolen bike, but she was flooded with so many offers of replacement bikes.
People pouring in, offering me a bike, offering to crowdfund a bike.
That a scheme has been set up to provide bikes to other NHS workers.
To be safer for longer, to therefore make other people safer for longer.
The name of the scheme is Tour de Thanks, or hashtag Tour de Thanks on Twitter. It has a registry of where bikes are located. Lucy's friend, who was made redundant by COVID-19, is manning the account. When NHS or other key workers need a bike, either because theirs was stolen or they want a safer commute, Tour de Thanks can match them up with bikes in their local area. It was started in London but has now spread all over the country, and bike shops, big and small, are now taking part.
It's really blown me away, and it makes me feel really optimistic to be able to go through the next coming months.
And then there's Claire Shepherd in Nunhead, whose own horrible experience of cancer saw her immobilised and essentially forced into self-isolation for months with a newborn baby in 2015.
I was in a huge amount of physical pain. I was on morphine. Because I was on such heavy medication, I couldn't sort of be alone with my baby. I had to have someone with me. I was rendered immobile. So I was sort of pretty much under house arrest for about 4 months. And it was difficult because I'm an extrovert.
Who came to help then? Her local community came to the rescue, helping with shopping, cooking, walking the dog. So when coronavirus hit, she knew what it meant to rally around your neighbours and set up Nunhead Knox.
The key, really, to having resilience in the face of really difficult situations is having a network of people around you who care about you.
So that's what she did this time, setting up with neighbours a network of now 1,500 people across Nunhead to help those isolating. One story of selflessness that really stands out for me is that of 23-year-old Sarah Jane Clark, who knows what she was doing on a Saturday exactly a year ago from now, because it flashed up on her Facebook memories the other day.
And I was actually at the seaside last year with my family and my fiancé. We went to Bridlington for the day.
Had over the long Easter weekend. For many, it is going to be another fine and very warm one, particularly across central...
Do you remember what you did at the beach? Was it lovely? Can you describe it?
It was really nice weather. We went walking right along the beach because the tide was out. We had some lunch in a cafe. It was just a really nice family day out.
And what would you typically have done on a Saturday night as a 22-year-old?
So a Saturday night would be, I like going to a local pub and having either a pint of lager or a nice glass of wine, you know, maybe sitting in the garden if it was nice, having a drink, have a nice meal or a takeaway. My favourite takeaway really is an Indian, and just relax.
Pretty different to this year.
Have we got any bingos yet?
Oh, only one to go.
2 and 8, 28.
Saturdays now, I get up at 6:10 in the morning when my alarm goes off, and then I work all day. I look after my lovely residents. I'm living at work.
That's right, living at work. Because Sarah Jane is a carer, and recently she and her colleagues volunteered to move into the home they work in so it could be placed into total lockdown to try to protect the elderly and vulnerable people they work with who suffer from dementia from getting ill with COVID-19. And how does that feel? I mean, you're 23, you've got your fiancé, you live with your family, you love going out.
It feels strange that I'm here and that I'm doing this, because at first I was thinking, I can't do that, I can't leave my family. And then the other part of me was thinking, well, my second family need me. And my mum said to me, my granddad was in the war. I'm looking after the generation that went through all that and that were in the war for not just a couple of weeks or a month, years. And what they will have gone through then must have been hell. It must have been awful. And for me to sacrifice a month now is nothing compared to that.
When coronavirus first kind of came on everyone's radar, how nervous were your residents?
We all kind of hoped that it wouldn't come to us and it wouldn't happen. However, deep down, we all knew something was coming and measures were being put in place. We knew that we would possibly be locking down, but I don't think we realised how severe it was going to get.
What was the decision you had to make then?
Whether or not I would live at work. At first, it was put that we would be at work for 2 weeks and we would work 12-hour shifts every day while we were here. We're not getting a day off.
Is it quite tiring? I mean, are you getting paid more?
I don't do my job for the pay at all. I do my job because I care and I love it. We're happy with what we're doing and I'm happy I can do it.
And do you feel like you're missing out on something that you might have had in your early 20s?
I don't think anyone's missing out on anything, because there's not a lot that we can do right now other than stay at home and just be safe, to keep everyone safe and to try and calm this all down.
So for now, Sarah Jane has converted a tiny narrow office into her makeshift bedroom.
I am staying in the senior office. So I have a spare repose mattress, which is off a hospital style bed. It's quite a thin mattress. It's just on the floor, but it's just an office with a bed in at the moment and a few home comforts.
And to cope, she and her colleagues have become close and thrown themselves into their work.
We're there for each other. We comfort each other because we are missing our family. Some of these girls have got, you know, young children. Saturday morning, I turned into our hairdresser, did our lady's hair. We had Elvis on in the salon singing away, had a really lovely morning doing that. And it's just, you know, keeping the minds stimulated and just having fun. Lots of sing songs. We've had sing songs, a dance.
What will you do with your first day out?
I am going to go home. My mum is going to cook homemade curry, naan breads. I will have a nice glass of wine, I think. I will have a bath. I will put my pyjamas on and I will just sit. And my mum has said she will not let me lift a finger, and I will just be able to relax and I'll be able to switch my alarm off and I will just have the longest lay-in ever.
That was Anne-Marie Plass, Naveed Khan, Lucy Wellings, Claire Shepherd and Sarah Jane Clark. Thanks to all of them, and a big shout out to the millions of others doing amazing things right now. I hope you enjoyed Easter weekend, even if you couldn't get together with your family. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Chika Ayres. Sound design was by Nicholas Cox. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.